So this morning I thought I would give you just a little snippet of what our mission is going to be about this coming week. So in all fairness to those that may not want to come out at night, I thought I would just give you a little snapshot as to what we're going to talk about this evening. And today begins part one of our personal relationship with God. And I ask you this morning, where is your personal relationship with God? And as you ponder that thought for a moment, we think to ourselves, well, how do we relate to God? And where are we in our own personal relationships with our family, our friends, with our spouses? Where are we in those relationships? And what does it take to have or be in a relationship with somebody? What does it take? Caring,
communication,
love. Yeah, all fine ingredients. It really takes a covenant or a promise. It takes trust. And it takes a lot of love to be in relationship. Now, I've been married almost 37 years, and I know that it takes God as part of my life for me to continue the relationship I have with my wife. It takes a lot of love and patience to be in relationship with our children, as does yours. It takes a lot of promises to our children. We promise to take care of them. We promise to love them. We promise that we're going to bring them happiness. And that's what we all strive for. We all strive for that happiness and that love. We yearn to be with other people because in our humanness, we need to be with other people. And to be with other people in a relationship is something really special. Now we go back to remember, what was God's promise to all of us? What was God's promise to us? Way back in the beginning. You see, God started His path or his journey to save us from our sinfulness a long time ago with one man. One man. And his name was Abraham. And he promised Abraham that, well, let me read it to you. The Lord says to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." That's the promise God made to Abraham. He's going to bless him. And guess what? We're all part of that blessing. And you might think, no way, I don't come from Abraham. How do you know that? Well, God tells me that. God tells me that we're all ancestors of Abraham. And the promise God makes to Abraham is a covenant with him. And we might think about, what is the difference between a contract and a covenant? Anybody guess? Contract, covenant. Father Paul has his hand up. Yes, Father.
You order a pizza.
Yes.
And the pizza guy brings it to your house.
Yes.
A contract is he gives you the pizza, you pay for it.
Yes.
And a covenant, he brings the pizza, you can't pay for it, he still gives you the pizza.
Nice. That is a great analogy. Pizza man. I'm going to use that tonight. I'll call on you tonight again too, Father. Exactly that. You see, Abraham looks at God and he says to him, how are you going to do this? How am I going to know you're going to bless me and all my ancestors after me? How am I going to know? And God says, I'm going to be the pizza man. And he puts Abraham into a deep, deep sleep. And then he has him gather these animals and splits them in two and a couple of birds. He doesn't split the birds in two. And then as Abraham falls into this deep sleep, he comes right through and passes through the half, the two halves of the animals, like a fire pot, charring them all up, searing that covenant forever. And one might think, well, why did he put Abraham to sleep? Why didn't he leave him stay awake? Because in God's mind, he's going to use Abraham to be the beginning of our salvation, whether Abraham goes along with it or not. It was considered a unilateral covenant with Abraham. He didn't need Abraham to fulfill it. And yet, he wants to show Abraham that he will make this covenant with him, and he's going to stand by his word regardless of what happens. Regardless. Isn't that amazing? You know, amazing that the pizza man would come and give you a pizza. Eh, don't worry about paying for it. Don't worry about it. Can't pay for it, that's fine. Imagine that. Domino's would go out of business if they did that too often, right? But here is God, in all his love and all his mercy, he makes this covenant with Abraham. And then Abraham, again, once he wakes up from his sleep, he says, Lord, I know you've been good to me, you've blessed me, you've brought me into this wonderful land of Canaan. I left my kinsfolk, I took my bride, and off we went because you told me to do that. And I trust in you. I trust in you. But I don't have any kids of my own. Can you help me out? And God listens to him. And what does God do? God gives him a child. Right? God gives him a child. And it continues on from generation to generation to generation until Christ comes to fulfill that promise that God made early on to Abraham. Something that the Jewish people didn't understand in Jesus' time. Like this morning's gospel. How do we know where you're from? Well, I told you where I'm from and you didn't believe me. And now you want to kill me. Funny. Did you remember back in Abraham's day? What happened then? In our way to get back into that relationship with our Father, who's made this covenant with us, he's made a promise to everybody gathered here. The way for us to get back into covenant with him is to what? Pray. Talk to him. Have a conversation with him. My wife got up this morning. I made her a cup of tea. She sits down and she wants to tell me about all the stuff she's getting ready for the baby shower for my daughter. And she's got flowers from Michaels and frames from Staples. And oh my gosh, she's got all kinds of stuff for this baby shower. It's consumed her. And we converse about it. We also converse about our kids. What's going on in their lives? We tell each other what we like and what we don't like, as you do in your relationships with your friends, your spouses. We communicate to one another. Could we be married for 37 years if we didn't communicate with one another? Could we? Could you be married for as long as you've been without communicating with one another? 51 years. 41 years. He's only 10 years apart. You're still catching up. It's about communication. It's about communication. It's about prayer. We communicate with God when we pray. I'd like to read you a little snippet out of this book. It's called The Pope and the CEO. It was written by Andreas Widmar, who was a Swiss guard at the Vatican, guarding Pope John Paul II. He's a very good speaker. He's been at several of the Boston Catholic Men's Conferences. I haven't heard him speak in a while, but the book was very powerful. I think I've related to it a few times. But if you'll bear with me, I'll just read a few snippets out of this. On a winter's night in 1987, I stood in full dress uniform inside one of the Vatican's smaller chapels. Gathered there was between 50 and 100 people. They'd come to join John Paul II for a prayer service that would be broadcast around the world via Vatican radio. I was there in my official capacity to guard the Pope, not to pray. So that while he and the visitors kept their eyes closed and heads bowed in prayer, my eyes remained open, wide open. John Paul knelt almost directly across from where I stood, and it was on him that I focused. My focus, however, wasn't purely professional. There was something more behind the intensity with which I watched him. I suppose it was curiosity. I was still new at the Vatican and still trying to figure this Pope out, trying to understand who he was and what made him tick. That night, I got my answer. As I watched him pray softly, speaking the words of the rosary, he began radiating a sense of peacefulness and calm, unlike anything I had ever encountered. The longer he prayed, the more absorbed in prayer he became until he seemed completely taken up in it, as if nothing and no one in the room could pull him back from this place where he had gone. He was obviously still physically present, but his spirit seemed to be someplace else. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, 2 years, I watched John Paul II pray on countless occasions. I learned a great deal about prayer from watching him, what prayer is, how to pray, and what prayer accomplishes. I also learned a great deal about the Pope himself through watching him pray. I discovered that prayer was at the heart of everything he did. It shaped him, guided him, and gave him the strength to lead. Prayer is what made John Paul II the man, the Pope, and the leader that he was. It enabled him to inspire so many so profoundly. Prayer can do the same for you and for me. Spoken by a Swiss guard back in the day. Prayer is so profound, it brings us into that deeper relationship with our Father that maybe we have never known. You see, it's still okay to recite those rote prayers we learned as kids growing up. The Our Father, the Rosary, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, an act of contrition, St. Michael the Archangel. But it's also okay just to have a conversation with God. You're in your car and you're going from point A to point B and something's on your mind, talk to God. I do it all the time, to and from St. James. It's a good 20-minute ride, great conversation. It's usually one-sided. Every now and then I do get a little, answer from him. I haven't personally actually heard his voice except for one occasion. One occasion. It was at our silent retreat, our canonical retreat we had at Ender's Island. It was the very last retreat we were going to have before ordination. And here I was on a weekend with 20 other guys, and we had to be quiet. Can you imagine that? I have a hard time not talking. And yet, it was a very humbling and prayerful experience for me to keep my mouth shut and listen. And some people would say, I am a very good listener when I'm not talking. That said, we had some fellowship on that Friday night we arrived after one of our presentations. And we had watched the movie, we had fellowship, and one of the guys, we were praying our evening prayer, one of the guys left a breviary in the room that we were in, and I picked the breviary up and brought it back to my room. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to get up to use the bathroom down the hall, and this creeping presence was coming to my left, and I turned, startled, and I said, what do you want? It was one of the other guys. He said, Did you happen to see my breviary downstairs? I left it there last night. I said, yes. Matter of fact, I brought it to my room. Could I have it? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What could you possibly want with it? I want to pray. This is the time I get up to pray. Oh, all right. I get the breviary. I give him the breviary. Thank you. Great. I go back to bed. I can't sleep now. I can't sleep. I'm like, Lord, please, just give me another hour's worth of sleep, please. I'm dead tired. No, roll and toss, a few more minutes. And then I heard a voice. And the voice said, come see me. I thought, you are kidding, right? Come. Come and see me. Really? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Come see me. All right, I'll come and see you. I got dressed. I went to the church and the chapel. I knelt down in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Out cold I went. Absolutely out cold. I went to see him. I listened. And he put me to sleep. Until about 7:10, I woke up with a start. I'm not sure if my arm fell off the pew or something, but I thought, oh, geez, I want to see the sunrise. I run down to the Fisherman's Chapel with the big Blessed Mother in front, right on the shoreline. And the waves are lapping up, and it is December, folks. It's December. It's cold. The wind was coming off the water, and I'm freezing. But I want to get down into the chapel and say a prayer at the sunrise. We just barely see it between the clouds coming in. And who was in there with a hoodie on and his face I could see barely this big was a guy who wanted his breviary at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hi. Morning. Not sure if we're supposed to be talking, but I get this whole, you know, prayer, pray early in the morning. He called me down too, so there we go. But that's the relationship that we have with our Lord. And that's the relationship we have with his Father. And in those relationships, we learn how to communicate back and forth. And as it pertains to our other relationships, my wife and I went to a marriage encounter after our nine years we were married. We went to a marriage encounter weekend. And she said to me, look, it's going to be a weekend away, no kids, your father's going to watch the kids. We're going to have a great time. And she said, you don't have to buy me an anniversary present. And I thought to myself, weekend away, no kids, no presents, this is good, and we're going to eat. Can't beat that. But I will tell you one thing. I went into this whole deal all skeptical. Oh, these holy rollers, they're not going to teach me anything. And in matter of fact, they really did. It was the best investment I ever made in my marriage. You see, a sacrament of marriage is that covenant. It's where the pizza man comes and gives you the pizza whether you can pay for it or not. It's not a contract. When you drive through in Vegas, you order your wedding, you get your marriage certificate, you pay the fee and off you go. It's not like that. It's a covenant. And God is present. It's something that the two people give to one another. And what I did learn at the marriage encounter weekend was how to communicate with my spouse, how to tell her how I feel and her the same. And we found out at this marriage encounter weekend that we all have emotional feelings. Something stirs us and we feel a certain way. And we learned that feelings are not right and they're not wrong. They just are. And you have to be able to identify and be able to listen to how that other person feels about anything. About how she likes her eggs, or about how she likes to be talked to in a certain way, or how she likes to be held. We like to hold hands. Two old farts walking down the street holding hands. It's great stuff. But almost like when you're with your kids And that hand automatically, as you're walking, their little hand finds your hand, and now they feel safe. The same thing with my wife and I. Her hand finds my hand, and we feel safe with one another. We feel comfortable with one another. And that's our opportunity to say, I love you, without saying, I love you. When we have a conversation about something that's bothering us, one of the other things we learned about is when we communicate, or when we're speaking, we talk about boulders and pebbles. Sometimes I might say something I might think is just a pebble. Boop, I throw it at her. And she'll look at me with this look and she'll say, boulder, like it really hurt her feelings. Well, I was just kidding around. I wasn't serious. But I get that look. Boulder. It's pretty heavy. It's a way for us to communicate how what I said made her feel. And her feelings aren't right or wrong, remember? Her feelings aren't right or wrong. They just are. It was a great method to help us focus on how we communicate with one another. How we communicate. I've got another book. I won't bore you with it. But it's called Behold the Man. It's by Deacon Harold Burke Sievers. Pretty well renowned. He's on EWTN every now and then. He talks about the sacrament of marriage is so central to God's love for us that He Himself chose to be born and grow up in a family, entering into human history with a mother and a foster father. In a culture where prestige means everything, our Father in Heaven shows us the simple lives of a housewife and a carpenter, the divine connection between the human family and the family of God in the Trinity. God's promise to us was to be in a relationship with us, whether we wanted to be in one with Him or not. In this Holy Lent, it's our time to get back to that personal relationship, that we are His child and He loves us just today, just as His very own. Every individual, each one of us, loves us. It's time we come back to Him during this Lent, so that on Easter Sunday we can shout out an Alleluia and an Amen and know in our minds and in our hearts that we now have recovered and rediscovered that relationship with our Father.